Message this morning is, Adam, where are you? At this time of year, many companies and businesses review the performance of the past year. They review profits or losses. These businesses review strengths or weaknesses in their corporation. They try to determine where they can make improvements in their performance. In the same way, we should review our walk with the Lord. How serious is our walk with Jesus? Is he the number one priority in our lives? Or do our priorities have to be reset? Now, at the beginning of the year, we need to ask these questions. How is our relationship with him? Are we committed to Jesus as the Hebrew slave was, to his master? Do we still have a hunger and thirst for the Lord? Or have we become lukewarm in our service to him? Jesus taught to launch out into the deep. How deep do we want to go with the Lord this morning? If the Lord placed us on the balance, will we be found wanting? Now that we have begun the new year, we need to ask ourselves, where are we on our walk with the Lord? How far have we progressed in the past year? Are we seriously committed to the Lord and hungry and thirsty for more of him? Or are we lukewarm, complacent, and indifferent to his call, his invitation to us? Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 read, "And they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." This is after they had sinned. "But the Lord God called Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" The Lord knew, obviously, where Adam was. God was referring to his spiritual condition because he had sinned. "Adam, where are you? What happened to you? What did you do?" The Lord is asking us the same question this morning. Put your name in place of Adam in this question. Jonathan, where are you? This morning, as we are at the beginning of a new year, where are we in our walk with the Lord? Are we in a prodigal condition? Let's read Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 to 24. Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 to 24. Luke chapter 15 and beginning at verse 11. "And he said, 'A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Has our walk with the Lord become careless and reckless? Are we living our lives outside of God's boundaries, his laws, his doctrine, outside of Jesus' teachings and the Gospels? Have we become backslidden? And you say, well, no, I'm still here. But you can start your backsliding even in the mental condition. Have we become backslidden? Are we giving due diligence to the teachings of the Lord? Do we revere and worship him as we should? The question arises, Adam, where are you? Or Jonathan, where are you? The prodigal son came to his senses, arose, and went back to his father and repented. Do we need to come to our senses, arise out of some condition we may be in, return to the Lord, and repent before him? God is anxiously waiting our return with open arms. He will then lavish his love on us, as we read in this parable that Jesus spoke of the prodigal son. Now, another way we could ask the question, Adam, where are you? Are we halting between two opinions? During the time of the prophet Elijah, under the reign of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, many in Israel were worshiping the fertility god Baal. The prophet Elijah spoke to the people and said, How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You'll find that in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. The Israelites were halting between two opinions. They were worshiping Baal and could not answer that God was their Lord after all he had done for them. In the Christian life, what is halting between two opinions? The teaching, acceptance of a watered-down gospel is a halt between two opinions. Teachings of Jesus should not and cannot be altered. No one can improve on what Jesus taught. Anything contrary to the gospel or biblical standards is a halt between two opinions if a person begins to accept it. There is no compromising with the gospel or teachings of Jesus. The Lord deserves better than a compromise. The Lord does not want us to accept a second opinion, because the second opinion constitutes a halt between two opinions. Something that is considered politically correct, and you hear a lot of this today, something that is considered politically correct when it is contrary to biblical standards is a halt between two opinions. Idolatry is a halt between two opinions, like what the people were doing when they were worshiping Baal. Now, we don't worship Baal, but we still might have idols in our lives. Anything that takes first place in your life other than God is an idol. Is Jesus really sovereign Lord of our lives? You have to ask that question. Each one has to ask that question in his or her own life. And again, the question arises as we're at the beginning of a new year. Adam, where are you? Jonathan, where are you? Put your name, your own name in there. Have we become lukewarm? Now, each of these topics can be an individual message. I'm just going to gloss over it, not to be too lengthy this morning. But have we become lukewarm? Read about the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, between verses 14 to 22. In these verses, Jesus said that the church of the Laodiceans was lukewarm. Have we become lukewarm in our service to the Lord? Have we been serving Jesus with a strong commitment, fervently? What priority do we place on our commitment to Him to make sure that our commitment to Him is strong? Have the cares of this world choked out the time and effort that we should be giving to the Lord? Have the cares of this world choked out the hunger for the Lord that should be in our hearts? Maybe the lukewarm condition of the church of the Laodiceans could be compared to the mineralized water in that city, which was distasteful. And the Lord said, I will spit you out of my mouth. Jesus doesn't want lukewarm Christians. He wants fervent Christians. And we should be fervent to Him. And look what He's done for us. Salvation alone. How He takes care of us every day. He blesses us, provides for us, heals for us, watches over us in every way. You know, we don't want to be in a lukewarm condition. Jesus really deserves better than that. We want to be passionate and on fire for Him. And if you don't feel that way, ask the Lord to make you feel that way, to realize who He is, how much He means in our lives, and to be just, you know, become passionate for Him. The words of the Lord to this church may seem harsh, but He, as the great Redeemer, wanted to restore their condition. The Lord didn't speak these words to tear this church apart. These words were actually a message of restoration. Jesus was not cracking the whip. It was a message of restoration. Verse 19 of this chapter says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Jesus loved this church. Jesus loves us this morning. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. We don't want to be lukewarm considering who Jesus is. The Lord wanted to anoint their eyes with eye salve so that they could see. The people of the church of the Laodiceans could not see what or who is important in life. They were blinded by material wealth and the cares of this world. The people had lost their heavenly vision. Do our focus and priorities have to be reset this morning at the beginning of the year? Can we see, do we know that Jesus is most important in our lives and that there is no substitute for Him? Is Jesus the center of our priorities? Adam, where are you? Put your name in there. Have we become complacent? Again, each one of these topics, I'm just being brief, glossing over it. Each one could be a message. Have we become complacent? After Joseph, Jacob's son, died, the people of Israel prospered and increased greatly in Egypt. But the Lord allowed a king to rule in Egypt who didn't know Joseph or have any regard for him. Seeing the people of Israel multiply and prosper, he decided that he would put an end to their proliferation. He ordered the murder of all males born to Israelite women. He also made life miserable for the people of Israel by appointing Egyptian taskmasters over them. But God had his plan. And we know it from Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Why did God allow his people to become oppressed by the Egyptians? Why did he allow such misery in their lives? Maybe the Lord didn't want his people to become comfortable and complacent, satisfied in Egypt, because he had a better plan for them. God doesn't do anything without a specific good reason. He wanted to make them into a nation and give them their own land, which today we know as Israel. If God didn't allow the Israelites to become uncomfortable and miserable in Egypt, they never would have wanted to leave Egypt. They never would have become a nation. God works similarly in our lives. He does not want us to feel complacent in our Christian lives. He has saved us, given us talents and gifts, and wants to use us for the advancement of his kingdom here on earth. The Lord never wants us to feel satisfied in our Christian walk. He does not want us to think that we have gone as far as we could in our walk with him and that we cannot go any further. There's no such thing that I've reached a plateau with the Lord. There's no plateau. You just get closer and closer to him, have more and more of him in our lives. He doesn't want us to feel complacent at all, never. Amos chapter 6, verse 1 reads, woe to them who are at ease in Zion. Zion representing the people of the Lord, us. In the Bible, the place of Zion represents the people of the Lord. God sent a warning, woe to them. Woe to us this morning if we feel complacent. Woe to them, and does not want us to become at ease or complacent in our Christian walk. He wants us to go deeper with him. I know the deeper you go with the Lord, the better it gets. He wants us to use the talents and the spiritual gifts that he has given to us for the advancement of his kingdom. Adam, where are you? The Lord is asking us this morning, where are you at the beginning of this new year? In any way, if we have deviated and walked off the path that God has chosen for us, we need to get back on the path. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 reads, thus says the Lord, stand in the road and look and ask for the eternal path, where the good old way is, then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. God is instructing us to stop and consider, become aware of what path we are on in life. In other words, he's saying, come home. Are we on the road that the Lord wants us to be on, or have we deviated or gone off course? If you are finding yourself on the wrong path, the one that God has not chosen for you, he is telling you this morning, return to me. Come home. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 read, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God. God is lovingly passionately telling us to come home. This morning, as we are at the beginning of a new year, the Lord is asking us, where are you? We need to go back to the eternal path and return to the Lord with the repentance and the will and the determination to walk in the path that He has chosen for us. He is calling us this morning to come home.